Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Killing Them Awfully by Eric Uglund, narrated by Neil Heligers. Chapter 1. Just as I was about to enter my room, I ran smack into Darius, my face hitting his chest. He looked down at me, a rare smile on his face.
"It's happening," he said.
"I need a bit more information," I said, trying to extricate myself from the big guy and make my way toward the shower and bathroom.
"The egg," he exclaimed. "It's hatching."
"You're kidding," I said.
"I'm not. Look."
He pointed, and sure enough, I could see small cracks forming across the shell.
"Your Grace,"
came a call from behind me.
"In here,"
I yelled back, my attention on the egg, wondering what sort of monster was about to come through.
"There's a challenge being called at the doors,"
Natalie said, out of breath from running up the stairs.
"A devil calls you to fight, or he will destroy Cogshall."
I leaned back, staring upward, and shook my head.
"Motherfucker needs to take a fucking number," I shouted.
"What number would you suggest he take?"
Natalie asked.
"Who is this fuckwad?"
"A devil."
"Why would I go outside to fight a devil?"
"He claims to have the means to destroy Cogshall."
"Aren't devils notorious liars?"
"Yes."
"Then why?"
"Because the devil says there are individuals already placed inside Cogshall, ready to invite devils in unless you emerge to fight him."
"And you believe him?"
"It seems to me at the least that he is telling the truth."
"And why is that?"
"Because a devil who had been invited inside delivered his message."
"By whom?"
"That's the issue. I know not who did it, but someone did. The devil remains inside, waiting patiently for your grace. It is entirely possible said devil will begin inviting its kin inside any moment, regardless of the others secreted about Mountain Home."
I looked over at Darius, but his complete attention was on the egg. "How much time do you think I have?" I asked.
"He is waiting now,"
Natalie said. "Darius," I said louder, giving Natalie a bit of side eye.
"How much time do I have until the egg hatches?"
"It's a mystery egg, Montana," Darius said without looking at me. "I have no idea. It could burst out right now, or it could spend the next few days working." I walked over to the egg, letting the big green chain clank behind me, and put my hand on its shell. "You need to wait a spell," I said firmly. The egg stopped moving. I looked over at Darius with a smile of wonderment. He looked back with wide eyes and a frown.
"How did you do that?"
Darius asked.
"I don't know," I replied.
"Your Grace?"
Natalie asked.
"I know," I said. "I'm coming."
I grabbed my knapsack and tied it to my belt. Then I made sure the chains were wrapped around my arms in a way that they wouldn't affect my mobility too much. I pulled a cloak on and nodded at Natalie.
"Ready,"
I said.
"Are you going to remove the chains?"
she asked.
"Eventually,"
I replied. She frowned but turned on her heel and led the way down the stairs. "Long night," I said after a moment of walking together.
"Yes,"
she replied. "Did you get any sleep?"
"No."
"Are you eating that dwarven stuff to stay awake?"
"No, that stuff rots your insides."
I frowned and shoved the tilbobo leaves I was about to offer her deeper into my pouch.
"I have been staying awake because I need to stay awake,"
she said.
"It is my duty to you and Cogshall."
"I appreciate it," I said. The stairwell was empty. The hallways were empty. We were very much alone, all the way until we approached the main entrance of Mountain Home. 12 guards stood around a lithe, ruby-skinned creature with wings folded tight to its back. The devil was tall enough to look me straight in the eye. Its features were human, but in an inhuman way, an apocryphal, uncanny valley effect coming on strong. It had purple irises that seemed to swirl and move in physically impossible ways. Oddly, as the devil turned to face me, I realized its clothes were like a sleek, semi-modern black silk suit.
"Montana of Cogshall?"
the fiend said with a slight bow of its elegant head, revealing horns that laid perfectly flat against its hairless scalp.
"What an absolute pleasure to meet you."
I said, surprised by the clipped perfect diction and peculiar politeness from a devil. "Likewise, who are you?"
"Verus Lacta,"
the devil replied with another bow and a wide smile which showed off crimson fangs. "Verus Lacta," I replied. It is nice to meet you.
Pleasantries aside, Your Grace, I come before you to request your presence outside these vaunted halls. There you may meet my master on the field of battle and die a horrific death, followed by uninterrupted torment in the hells below, until such time as you agree to become a soldier for the hells and fight against the horrors who seek to destroy all that we know.
Oh, I said, trying to make sure I was parsing through all that had just been said. So seems like no real upside for me.
It does seem that way, yes.
Why would I go out there, exactly?
If you refuse, I have been authorized to welcome in any and all fiends who wish to visit Cogshall.
There are devils who want to come here?
More than a few, Your Grace,
it replied. Vera Slagter scanned the room and stopped on a young guard with a pretty face. The fiend licked its lips, kept its eyes on the pretty face, and said,
"This place is practically bursting with souls ripe for the harvesting."
"Ah," I said, "then I guess that's a pretty good incentive to, you know, head outside."
"Depends upon your feelings for your, well, underlings."
"I tend to like 'em."
"Pity.
It's put me in some tough spots, but, you know, they're worth it." Vera Slagter looked at me and raised one slightly spiked eyebrow ridge.
"I highly doubt that."
"Might I have a moment?" I asked.
"I have been advised to not give you overly long," Vera Slagter replied. "Our night nears its end, and my master is disinclined to wait another year."
"So you're just going to start rattling off devil names if I take too long?"
"Yes, Your Grace. I have a fantastic list to start. In fact, if you wish, I could invite an arch-prince. I have his name right here."
Vera Slagter held out a small notebook and quickly showed me a list of names. A rather long list, but I made sure to pay attention and caught the one at the top. Jurthuran. I wasn't exactly sure I was supposed to actually see the name, but now I had it. Though I'm not sure why I felt like I'd pulled one over on the devil. What use was a fiend's name when I really didn't want to have anything to do with the fuckers? On the other hand, maybe I was supposed to see the name, and it was really just a decoy. That suddenly seemed more likely. "No," I said. "That's not necessary. Bit crowded in here, and I'd hate to show a big devil a bad time."
"Then I suggest you join me outside, where we might engage my..."
Yeah, I said. "I get it. Let's go."
"Your Grace," Natalie said, her eyes wide. "You are going outside?"
"There's not exactly a choice here, Natalie," I said. "I go out, or you all pay the price."
"Your Grace," she tried again.
"I think you're in charge until I get back."
"Your Grace, I... what do you mean?"
"Exactly what I said."
"But..."
I gave her a smile, and because I was extremely tired and definitely not thinking straight, gave her a thumbs up as well. She frowned and looked at her own thumb, trying to make sense of the gesture. I just shook my head and followed Varig Slagter out of Mountain Home. Chapter 2. Night still hung over us. Constant night. Pure darkness all the fucking time. And because, you know, winter, it was snowing. Granted, not like blizzard snowing. More Norman Rockwell, pleasant flakes drifting by the window snowing, but being that I wasn't dressed for much of anything and had holes in both my clothes and my armor, I felt the sting of the cold. Vera Slagter didn't seem fazed in the slightest, blithely marching along in front of me. "Any chance you want to tell me who your master is?" I asked.
"And spoil the surprise?"
Vera Slagter asked in mock indignation.
"Never."
"Okay. What's it like in hell?"
"Hellish."
"That's ridiculous."
"And yet, apt."
"Come on. It's a childish response, and you know it."
"There are several hells,"
Vera Slagter replied with a sigh.
"It is hard to categorize them all. What if I asked you what it was like on Voldrani? How might you respond? Would you say your experiences in Glatton apply to those in, say, Struglia?"
"Never heard of it."
"Well, having been to both nations, I will tell you it differs greatly from here."
"What's it like?"
"Normally I wouldn't bother answering such a question," Vera Slagter said. without payment of some form, but given that we have more to stroll until your demise, I suppose I might give a little.
How generous of you. I got a smile in return. A predatory one, but a smile nonetheless.
Struglia is far to the south, in the opposite hemisphere, nearly on the other side of the planet,
Parislactor said.
Dense rainforests cover much of the flatlands, with cloud forests shrouding the few mountains. There are tiny, isolated pockets of civilization here and there. No humans have ever made it to them, and they only have stories of the existence of bipedal races.
They're not bipedal, I asked.
They are not tentacled.
Like an octopus, or,
Yes, Your Grace, though cephalopod would be more accurate. The great jungles hide the ruins of a mighty civilization, one more advanced than Glatton, or even Trool, though the current residents have yet to realize what lies under their feet, or rather, under their suckers.
Do they live underwater?
The Thethari are arboreal, though they can breathe air and water with equal ease. Fascinating types, though, as I already stated, very different from here, or you. And I am sure they would offer me a completely different picture were I to ask them what Voljani was like.
Point made.
I appreciate when one can admit their errors.
I've had quite a bit of practice.
I have heard you are quite stupid, but in my experience that has not proved true.
Thanks.
Yet.
I rolled my eyes. We strolled up the stairs of the wall. At the top we looked out across the cleared area to the trees, and I saw a large figure standing alone. That's your master? I asked.
For the moment,
Parislactor replied. Are you looking for new employment?
It would be uncouth for me to break a contract. My kind tends to frown on that.
Care to make a wager on the fight?
No. Should you win, I would not be happy to be in your debt. Should you lose, you have nothing to offer me.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Parislactor smiled, unfurled its wings, and shot up into the air. I sighed and dropped over the wall into the deep snow. I floundered for a moment, trying to pull myself out of the ditch, and waded through the windswept drift until I was mostly on firm ground with just my lower legs in the snow. My opponent did not have the same troubles. The devil waiting was larger than me, wore more armor than me, and also had horns, which I lacked. It also had a beard that was forked and braided, which I thought would look good on me. I tried to swallow my jealousy over his majestic facial hair, but I couldn't. The devil was very human, almost preternaturally so, and without the whole uncanny valley problem Parislactor suffered from. Large wings loomed over his back, and his horns swirled up and out, ending in vicious points. His face looked somehow familiar.
"My opponent returns,"
he said in a profoundly deep bass that echoed off the wall behind me. It sounded strange and disconcerting.
"Not sure I'm returning," I said. "Then mayhaps I am returning."
"Mayhaps?"
"It means perhaps. Or maybe."
"I know what it means, just who the fuck says mayhaps?"
"I do, you Claude."
"Claude? Similar, I know what it means.
I regret not killing you the first time we met."
"I have no idea who the fuck you are."
"Hard to believe."
"You can believe whatever you like, bub, but I'm pretty sure I'd remember a face as ugly as yours with horns only a goat could love.
I do like that beard, though."
The fiend snarled.
"Your arrogance will be your downfall."
"Is that hubris? I can never remember." I just got a blank look back. "I wasn't great at school," I said. "Kinda forgot."
"Yes," the fiend intoned. "Arrogance can be construed as hubris."
"Thanks. Different topic. Why are you here?"
"To kill you, of course. To take your soul to the hells where I can torment it until—"
"Right," I said with a snap of my fingers. Parislactor did mention something like that. "Still don't remember you, though. I feel I'd remember meeting a devil."
"I was not a devil then,"
my opponent said.
"A mere mortal. I am now what I intend to make you, though naturally I doubt you will ever match me."
"Seems like I already matched you, and bested you."
"Cheap shots,"
the devil roared.
You were a poor fighter, and
we were fighting to the death?
Always.
Then it's all fair game, you whiny bastard.
You have no honor.
You're the fucking devil.
And I fight a greater fight now, one you cannot possibly understand.
I mean, seems like since you already called me an idiot, you're kind of getting boring with these insults. He snarled.
I am Titus,
he finally boomed, standing proud and looking as if I should be cowed. Who? I asked.
Titus.
I am. Do you have a last name?
I only need one name.
All evidence to the contrary. No memory of any Tituses. Wait a second. Didn't I take your jaw and your sword? Titus sneered at me. I could feel power radiating out from the slaving asshole. It was as good a moment as any to reach into my bag.
Our last meeting was a wake-up call for me, he mumbled. I have spent the time since learning new methods of combat, making myself more powerful than you could ever imagine. My patron bid me come here for you, though I would love to be anywhere else because I see you as worthless, but...
You have a patron? I have a patron.
I know you have a patron.
Who's your patron? He blinked a few times, then shook his head.
Never you mind, my patron. Focus on your impending death.
I pulled out the sword of weight and held it up. Hey, look at that, I said. I still have your sword. The sword of weight. Item type, epic. Item class, one-handed melee, two-handed melee. Material, hepatazon. Damage, 100 to 250 slashing. Durability, 500 out of 800. Weight, 18 pounds. Requirements, strength, 18. Description, an oversized sword designed for cutting and slashing, hits with triple times the weight.
You will regret boasting about this moment, he said.
He held his hand out, and a massive flaming blade coalesced into his palm. It was easily 10 feet long, with huge flames licking around the glossy black metal blade. Boasting? I asked. Maybe I was just trying to give you your sword back. He paused and squinted at me. Although, if I remember correctly, I said, weren't you a slaver?
I wasn't a slaver. I was the slaver. I was by far the best at capturing live sentience. I had more gold than most kingdoms and was poised to become so much greater than a dolt like you could ever imagine.
Okay, now I just feel dirty talking to you. Let's get this over with. I got a shield out of my bag and strapped it onto my arm, making sure my tiny celestial spoon was also in my shield hand. Then I held the sword back, ready to receive the charge I knew had to be coming. Instead, a line of fire roared out along the ground from him to me. I dove to the side, sliding in the snow and hurrying back to my feet. This was going to be an entirely different kind of fight. Chapter 3. As my feet hit the ground, I had to get my shield up to absorb the blow from the huge flaming sword. When the blade hit, sparks shot off and blinded me. The hit was monstrously strong. Not quite enough that I felt outmatched, but enough that I knew this guy would pose a problem. I shoved his blade off my shield and swung the sword of weight around in a big arc. He got his sword up to block, showering me with another round of sparks. It was like we were in the last fight of Highlander. After holding our pose for half a second, he leaned in, gritting his sharp teeth at me, eyes quite literally ablaze.
Prepare, he began,
but I just headbutted him. He stumbled back a step, and I swept my sword in a downward chop. Chunk! My heavy blade bit deep, cleaving his cloven feet. I leaned into my shield and bashed him with all the strength I could muster. The devil screamed and fell backward, off balance and in obvious pain. I followed, sword up high, and swung down hard. But Titus opened his mouth and blasted my entire body with fire. I barely closed my eyes in time, and it still did a good job of cooking my face and getting rid of my shitty beard start. Motherfucker. A normal person engulfed in flame would have probably stopped their hit, but I knew that wasn't the right move, so I continued to power my chop. There was a heavy clank and a brief resistance before Titus's infernal armor gave up. I felt my sword sink into his chest. I let go of the hilt and dove to the side, into the snow, hearing the loud hiss as I put myself out. No more Montana candle. Montandle? At the same time, I reached out with tremor sense. I felt Titus already on his feet, hooves, stomping towards me, albeit having a little trouble balancing since he was missing part of his foot, or hoof. Both. I rolled to the side, my eyes still not working quite right, and got to my feet, sword out in front, feeling where Titus was. His wild swung missed, and he grunted as he overbalanced. I reached into my open knapsack and got out a spear. I did a little spin in my hand to get a better grip and willed my eyes to open up. They would not. Fuck, I said.
Ask for mercy, blind man, Titus barked out, and I might be willing to grant it.
As in, you'll let me live?
As in, I'll kill you quickly.
Nah,
you can't see, you fool. You have—
I threw the spear and heard it strike true. The peculiar sound of iron spearhead thunking into devil's flesh. Titus roared with rage and pain. I wondered if perhaps that spearhead hadn't been iron. I felt Titus take a few steps back, and felt when the spear hit the ground near him. Tremor sense was pretty amazing when it was the only way to see, and because Titus seemed to have a fondness for fire, nearly all the snow around the two of us had melted, making it easier for me to feel where everything was. It's tough to catch vibrations through snow. Titus came forward, moving slowly, testing me. I'd missed my opening to pull another weapon from the bag, so I got the shield up and did my best at pretending I couldn't really see, playing that my throw had been pure luck. My sword was somewhere nearby, and I had a fix on the spear. I could feel Titus shift his weight. He lunged toward me, his sword whistling through the air. I dove forward, going into a low roll, and came to my feet right next to my spear. I slid my foot under the haft and kicked it up, snatching it from the air and throwing it in one reasonably smooth motion. There was a hard clank as the spear hit something metallic and then hit the ground. Twice. It had been cut in two. This is too hard, I thought. I crouched behind my shield and felt Titus circling to my right. I remained in place and quickly touched my ruined face. It was pretty well burned. My eyelids had fused shut. I sighed, not liking what I was about to do, but you gotta do what you gotta do. I took a deep breath, ripped my eyelids off, and tossed them to the side. The dark world came alive in front of me, just in time to see a brilliant fireball angling toward my right shoulder. I shifted my shield and tucked against the metal, closing my eyes tightly, or, you know, trying to close my eyes, but that wasn't really an option anymore. The fireball hit in a beautiful explosion and pushed me back a few inches. It even got my metal shield to glow a bit. I peeked around the edge of the shield and saw Titus approaching right behind, his fiendish body soared in the air, and his sword arced down to slice me in half. With no time to dodge, I managed to get my shield in the way. I watched a shower of sparks rain down as the metal shield buckled in around my arm. Titus roared and pulled back for an additional swing. I backpedaled, ripping off the ruined shield and throwing it at Titus, who batted it aside with a sneer. But it ruined his swing. We stood with just a few feet between us, each rather wounded and bleeding. His blood was a nearly iridescent crimson, while mine was so dark it was essentially black.
"Where'd you come from?"
I asked, the question rising unbidden. It's like I couldn't pass up the chance to get some sort of touchstone to Earth. He frowned.
"Florida?"
"Michigan." There was a barely perceptible nod from Titus.
"Shame to kill a fellow American," he said.
"Agreed. We could—"
"It's an order," he interrupted. "No choice in the matter."
"I'm assuming a respawn for me
doesn't quite work that way in the hells."
"Afraid I can't let you kill me, then." He gave me another nod. "Plus, there was that whole you being a slaver thing," I said.
"The things here aren't real," Titus replied. "They're only here for us to play with. They're pawns, and we're the fucking pawns," I snapped,
feeling a rage bubble up I wasn't fully aware had been broiling.
"We are the ones being toyed with by gods. The gods play with us, we play with them. We're here to protect them. You're a fucking tool."
"I'm the one with free choice, though. You're the one stuck with orders."
"It's an order I will enjoy carrying out."
"Still an order, scrub." Titus's lip quivered into a sneer. I could see him regripping his sword. I felt like his knuckles were probably white under his gauntlets. With a flick of my very dry eyes, I saw the magical sword of weight in a pool of fiend fluid off to my right. He shot a glance to follow my eyes, and the sneer lifted to a smile.
"Running out of weapons," he said. I always hated when you fucking people would invade my sunshine state. I just hated your state. You fucking gators while you were there?
He barked out a laugh and said something, but I'd stopped paying attention. He was just talking to talk, likely waiting for a moment, just like this one where I zoned out for a second. But I was tired after dealing with all the shit surrounding Fiend's Night, and the reality of the night was catching up to me. Nikolai was gone, and I'd lost who knows how many others to a shape-shifting slime monster. What the fuck was I even doing in this fucked-up world? Was I a pawn being used by a god? Was it my duty to protect those under me, or to abuse those under me? Why was I taking a moment of introspection in the middle of a fucking fight?
Tremor sense thrummed, and I snapped back to reality just in time to see the devil's blade coming down at my head, a perfect chop about to bisect me. I leaned forward, ready for all this nonsense to be over, at least for a while. The glaive blowed in the air and hit the back of my neck, but it clanged, bouncing off at a strange angle.
"What is this?"
Titus yelled and snapped a quick cut back at me. I didn't have the presence of mind to move, still caught up in the vague funk of whatever was affecting me. His slash clanged across the links of my chain, dancing up my arm towards my head. I ducked down and felt the soft wind from the sword across my bare, burned scalp. My cloak, barely holding on to begin with, fell off, revealing the lengths of vibrant green chain tied to my arms and shoulders. Next, the string holding it in place lost its battle, and the chain dropped to the ground, a great weight lifted from me. Sort of.
"Huh,"
Titus said. I smiled and shrugged. Then I grabbed the chain in my hands and whipped it around to Titus. Titus got his sword up to block my swing, but the chain whipped around, smacking his face before it wrapped around his sword. I pulled the chain back. There was a quick moment where I thought I'd snatch his sword from his hands, but the blade just came free. Titus took a step back, shaking his head slightly. He seemed to take a moment to rework his strategy with the additional information of these chains. I started to wrap the chains around my arms, trying to get some of their immense length under control and to have some bonus armor, in a way. Titus lunged at me, his sword thrusting forward. I twisted my torso, and the blade slid along my mail, popping the small steel rings off and shooting them into the night. The weight of the chains surprised me. I certainly wasn't used to fighting with them, and I overbalanced, taking an extra step to catch myself. But that left me open to attack, and Titus was not about to miss that chance. He swung a powerful overhand chop down, again trying to cleave me in two. Acting on pure instinct, I reached up and caught the blade. It sliced right through my skin, my blood sizzling as it came in contact with the blade, but the sharp edge of the sword stopped when it hit my bone, and I just stood there, holding the blade away from me. The devil's eyes went wide. He shook his head.
"What are you? How are you?"
he started. He whipped his sword out of my grip and swung it again. I pulled my arm to the side in a boxer's block and accepted the blow on my arms. The sword slipped past the links of the chain, then cut through my mail in a spray of sparks and more rings breaking off. The blade bit into my arm, but again stopped against my bone. I brought my other fist around and slammed it into the devil's sword-holding hand. I hit hard. His grip relented, and I shoved my body sideways against his blade. The sword tumbled to the ground. I gave it a hearty kick. He roared in anger, his streaming spittle flying out into the cold air. I could feel the power welling up inside the fiend's body, and I knew a spell was coming. Right as he opened his mouth, right when I saw the glint of fire deep in his gullet ready to rage forth, I jammed the celestial spoon up, right through the soft spot under his chin, through the palate on top of his mouth, until the bulbous soup holy bit slipped out in the middle of his infernal nose. He went cross-eyed for a second before the spell had nowhere to go and caused his head to explode, raining organic debris down over me and knocking me back on my ass. My eyes burned out in the process. I heard a hard thump as Titus's knees hit the ground, then a softer thud as his torso did the same. Dead. GG, you've killed Titus. Steel-level devil of the Underwell. You've earned 3,375 XP. What a mighty hero you are. I laid in the mud of our fighting pit, finally letting the exquisite pain of my wounds wash over me. It was difficult to feel much of anything beyond that misery, the waves of burns, stabs, slashes, bruises, contusions, and worst of all,
that empty spot where Nikolai had been. I let it all wash over me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?